الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم ساهون، الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. وقال تعالى: فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. With regard to our wazaif that we should be reading, one very important wazifa, and like that there are a few others also like that for protection. One is Dua-i Anas. The dua Hazrat Anas' mother radiallahu ta'ala anhu had taught Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a sahabi. And he was a very outspoken, and he stood for the truth at any cost. And when the king had summoned him, and the king was totally in the wrong, without any fear of contradiction, any fear for his life or anything, he spoke out the truth in front of the king. The king attempted many times to execute him, but he could not. Allah sent protection for him. So it's a very valuable dua. Mufti Taqi Usmani, there was an attempt to assassinate him some time ago, maybe now about 3 years ago or so, and after Juma Salah, and with his family they were in the car, and it was a drive-by shooting incident, and they had fired so many shots, and the object was to eliminate the whole family. But not one got hurt, maybe just a slight little bruise or something somebody got. And immediately after that, Mufti Sahib said that, "I read my Dua-i Anas this morning. Did you people also read it?" So this dua is very, very valuable. Bismillah ala nafsi wa deeni, bismillah ala ahli wa mali wa waladi. It's a little lengthy dua, but it's in the kitabs. Find it, please do try and learn it, read it regularly, then it will be easy to learn it, and read it every day, at least once a day. Also, if we read it morning and evening, even more better. But otherwise, at least once a day, Dua-i Anas, we should read. Or there are other duas like that. If we want to read those duas, we can read them also. But duas for our protection, our deen, our dunya, our akhirat, our family, our property, all our things, to have it protected, we should be reading these duas. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. With regard to namaz, farz namaz is the most important. And in that farz namaz, we should do it correctly. That is also very important. Anything, even our dunya things, if we don't maintain them, we don't clean them, do routine checkups, that thing goes down, it gets damaged. And afterwards to fix it up is a whole big expense. Or maybe you have to replace it completely. You have to maintain it all the time. And if you want to improve, house improvements are done all the time. A person driving a car maybe 10 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, then he buys another car, and he buys a more later car. Everything we try and improve all the time. Much more important is our deen that we must improve. And we can't just accept it as it was and leave it. Most of us, as we got into namaz, whichever way, we saw our mother making namaz, we joined her, we're making that kind of namaz. Or as little children, with friends we learned namaz, or in the maktab we learned, then just that namaz is carrying on till today. We haven't thought of improving on that namaz. All the time we must be thinking of improving, bettering our namaz all the time. If not, then namaz or any other ibadat won't stay at the level that it is. It will go down. Just like you take a ball and you throw it up in the air, it will go up, 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 but to a certain point. At that point, it won't stay there in the air forever. It will come down faster than what it went up. So as long as we are improving, we will be going up. The minute we stop and we say, "I'm now all right," or we don't say anything, but just now I'm not improving. I'm still making my namaz, but I'm not improving my namaz. Your namaz will definitely start going down. Your conscience of namaz, your mind being present, your devotion, your passion in namaz, definitely it will go down. We hardly reached all those conditions, and we already stopped of progressing. We hardly started our journey, and we feel we are already at the destination. And we are just satisfied with that. The same it is with Quran Sharif Tilawat also. Even if a person became a Qari, and if he does not maintain his reading, one great alim of South Africa and a very good Quran Sharif reader, he went to Hardoi also for the company of Hazrat Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali and for Quran Sharif as well. And Hazrat was very impressed with his reading and polished it even more. After some years, when Hazrat visited South Africa, Hazrat asked him to read again. So he read, then Hazrat said, some rust has come over the reading, because you are not practicing and reading it all the time as you were doing previously. So even our Quran Sharif reading, if we don't carry on, it will go down. Anything. So therefore, very important, and the most important in our lives after the Iman, even Iman, we must be concerned of making our Iman stronger. That is why it's our dhikr. That is why we have to stay away from sins and guna. That is why we have to be in the company of the righteous and the pious. All these things will increase our Iman. Otherwise, Iman won't even remain at the level that it is when we got it. It will start going down. So namaz also, all our ibadat, we have to, just like a child when he's about 10 years, he might be wearing a size 2 shoe. Now he can't wear a size 2 shoe his whole life. As he grows up, he will wear a bigger shoe. So as we also growing, if we are growing up in our namaz, so our namaz must become a better namaz. And the sign of anyone to see for himself whether my namaz is improving, just think what kind of a namaz I was reading 10 years ago. If that namaz was better than the namaz I'm reading now, then that's a very weak sign. We are going downwards. If it's still the same, then also we are stagnating. It must be that now I'm feeling sorry. That time, what kind of a namaz was I making? So Allah give us tawfiq. So for that, we'll have every year Ramadan, we have a practical namaz also, so that we can see for ourselves. When will that be? Saturday. 11 o'clock. Oh. Half past 11. On Saturday, 11:30, inshallah, will be that practical namaz. Now, just a few aspects of it I will discuss. And to make our namaz, when we do the outward portion, postures properly, then our inside of the namaz, the concentration and the devotion comes from there. There are two few things that will bring devotion and concentration. One, and the most important, is that our outward postures must be correct. And that also Allah has made it such that that is in our control. How to our outward, so to say, it's in our control. And we do that, what is not in our control, to have concentration, our thoughts all the time, Allah will grant that. The other is, we have to do at least a course in Zikrullah. Zikrullah, one of the main purposes of it is to learn to focus. By Zikr, Zikr will benefit us tremendously, not only in our dini matters, but even in our dunya matters. Many of us, like students, it's a common problem, even in schools, even at varsity, that they're not focusing. The complaint comes from the teachers that the child doesn't focus, his mind is too much wavering all the time. By zikr, you'll learn to focus. Even your dunya matters, you'll focus. A driver who's driving and doesn't focus is a very dangerous person on the road. Is very dangerous to himself and to other passengers also. So to learn to focus, whatever work we are doing, many times we find it's a common thing. The wife says, you don't speak to me. When you speak to me, your mind is not there. Your mind is somewhere else. You're speaking to me or the children, but your mind is not there. We're not focusing. Focusing is very important. And we all can understand, I'm sure, that in our namaz, we all just made asr. How many of us focused in namaz? That I'm in namaz, I'm with Allah Ta'ala. It's my preparation for akhirat. Practically none of us. That which rakat I'm reading, which surah I'm reading. And there are many ulama, many of us who know the meaning, but we didn't pay attention. Just to make sure for ourselves that we are not paying attention. Namaz is the greatest ibadat after iman. Namaz, and so the greatest praises of Allah, Allah kept in namaz. If there were more greater praises, Allah should have kept them in namaz. There are more greater praises, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, on Qiyamah's day, when all will go from Nabi to Nabi, to beg for that hisab kitab must start. And all will say, I'm not fit to go and intercede by Allah Ta'ala. Idhab ila ghairi, go to somebody else. Finally, when they will come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam in sajda will say those praises of Allah which only at that time Allah will inspire Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If it was in this dunya, it should have been in namaz. So what we got in namaz, subhanakallahumma, wa bihamdika, wa tabaraka smuka, wa ta'ala jadduk, wa la ilaha ghayruk, are the greatest praises. But now in asr, we all ready. But did we even think a little bit? We just bypassed it. Like you're going on a holiday, a visit, to go and see scenic places, beautiful scenery. And when you get there, you just drive past. Eh? You perhaps had some overdose of some medicine or drugs or something, and for what you went there, and you're not looking at that. We came for namaz to meet Allah. And now when we are meeting, even when we say Allahu Akbar, there are two major things which each one ask ourselves, I applied myself or not. One is to have the presence of Allah. Allah, the being, the Zat of Allah. Then every name of Allah has got a specific, a definite connotation. And if we read the kitabs, many ulama have written a tashri' explanation of Asma'ul Husna. And so many explanations of each name. At least one explanation should be in our mind. Yeah, the greatness of Allah. The greatness of Allah is in many aspects. And really, if we do make effort on our concentration of namaz, we will see there are so many things that we can't cover them up. Every namaz, a different aspect of concentration will come. Namaz will be enjoyable thoroughly. It won't be every time the same thing. So, who of us thought of Allah when we said Allahu Akbar? Who of us thought of the greatness of Allah? And the greatness of Allah, so many kitabs have been written on Allahu Akbar alone. And nobody can cover it all up. But we just bypass it completely. We don't pay attention. Sana we read, we don't pay any attention to it. And yet we are happy and we're complacent that I must improve my namaz. At least just let me think at least the rudiments, the basics of our namaz as far as concentration is concerned. Namaz, how we are making, we won't be questioned, you didn't make namaz. We made namaz. But that namaz won't have any. A tree without fruit. You planted all the trees, but those trees never bore fruit. You're running businesses, but no business you're making. You're just running the business, no profits you are making. What kind of a business is that? And namaz delivers the greatest thing. And as we will do it, we will realize that the greatest enjoyment that we can get in life is in namaz. And whenever we understand of that will be, whenever we have some free time, we'll just start with namaz. Because what you enjoy, what is your hobby? One time, Mufti Ahmed Khan Puri Sahib Damat Barakatum was here in our country. They had a Islahi Jalsa in Jami Masjid. And I saw he was so busy. And all the time he's on the ball, as we will say. So I asked him, that you don't get tired. He said, where does a person get tired in his hobby? What has become your hobby you don't see sleep, you don't see food. Even if they call you 10 times for food, but you don't pay attention. Once our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali was in Mauritius, and he was having a majlis after Fajr. So it went lengthy, and there was a Jamaat also, Tabligh Jamaat from South Africa, in which was my brother-in-law, Maulana Qasim Zubair Ali, Rahmatullah Ali. He mentioned this to me. Hazrat was talking and immersed in the love of Allah and the greatness and the beauty of Allah. And he just carried on the talk. So Mir Sahib came and he said, next breakfast is ready. So Hazrat just ignored it. He didn't even hear 2 or 3 times. Then Hazrat became angry on him. He said, I'm giving Ruhani breakfast, spiritual breakfast, and you calling me for this food breakfast. This is how important. So like that a person will enjoy it. He won't be able to. Our namazas we will enjoy. Our zikr we will enjoy. Our tilawat we will enjoy. Dunya's work we'll do, but there won't be enjoyment. We'll just do it just for the sake of doing it. At the moment it's the total opposite. We do, those of us who are supposed to be pious, we make our 5 times namaz, but we do it just because we are supposed to do it. And we are, most of us, the last we are in and the first we are out. We just want to finish our tilawat if we are doing. And dunya's work, we'll take our time and do it properly. Maulana Sayyid Khan Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali of Medina Sharif says that the concentration that we have in our food when we are eating, if we have 1% of that concentration in our namaz, the whole world will change. In our food, we got full concentration. I must get achar also, that chutney also, everything I must get. Where was that dish? It was just now. Yeah, where is it now? I must have that also. But in our namaz, we floating like through, just like zombies going through the namaz. Namaz must be such that we find generally also, perhaps now it's international, wherever it started, Zuhar was standard before 1 o'clock Adhan, 1:15 Jamaat. Now almost all the masjids, Sundays, public holidays, they got a notice that Adhan 12:30, Jamaat 12:45 mostly. And why? So that after we finish, we can sit with itminan and have our meal. Whereas it should have been the opposite, Maulana Sayyid Khan Sahib said, that go and have your meal quickly, and then we've got enough time for namaz. None of us think in that lines also. That, meals are ready, just let's have it quickly. And then we will go and we'll make, to have enough time for namaz. In fact, this one bab in Bukhari Sharif, that if Isha and Asha, both of them are ready together, Isha namaz also and supper, both are ready the same time, then what should one do? Must he have his supper first? Or must make his namaz first? Logically, it seems that you should make your namaz first, it's more important. But the ruling is have your supper first. Then, after your supper, then you can make your isha with itminan now. And so, that is the ruling, that is how it should be. The students asked Hazrat Shaykh al Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, when he was teaching this, that if we are going to go and sit and have our supper, by then, and Isha is ready also the same time, Jamaat is ready. We must have a Jamaat, Jamaat will be over. So, Hazrat replied and said, Unka khana, tumhare bawa jaise khana thora tha. Their food and supper wasn't like how we eat in our customary way. That first this course, and then that course, and then that course, and that. They ate a few khajurs, drank water, and finished. So they are there. So their life was simple as far as dunya. But we have complicated our dunya. At one time, Hadraji Maulana Inamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, on the Dasturkhan, some dish came. And nobody could figure out what is this dish. So they started discussing what is this now, how do you eat it, etc. And now, in fact, sometimes the ladies send the directions also, that how it must be eaten. So complicated it has become. Otherwise, meals was a thing. Everyone know how to eat it. But now certain things that you have to add this or when you have to have it. So, Hazrat Ji, Rahmatullah Ali say, ye aurto ke chonch le hai. This is all there. what will you call chonchle, all the insight, they giving vent to all the thoughts and desires, this meal, that meal, prepare this like this, biscuits like that, the savory is all different types, everything, little bit some savory, some dessert, but now it's all what and what is unbelievable how it is. And then the presentation is again done. And then look at the dastarkhan when it is laid down. The actual way is that you sit down and then you lay the dastarkhan after that. And then you take not a plate for everyone, but you have one dish which you serve for 3, 4, 5 people. 6 people, they sit and eat from there. Then you put the food in the middle and all start eating. But ours, the whole dastarkhan is laid out. And previously that one big dish, 10 people, it was sufficient for 10 people. Now one person requires 10 dishes. For example, we got our big plate, we got a smaller plate, we got a soup bowl, we got a teaspoon, we got a tablespoon, and very sadly, everywhere, knife and fork is also put down. About 10 utensils are put down for one person. And most of that is not even used. During the meal, some people just put some of that dishes one side from the start. That is not the way we have. We are not Islamicized at all. We are Westernized. Our whole system, even if we are eating on the floor and like sunnat, what we call, but it's a whole the Western system is over and above all that system. Very, very important that we learn and we come out of that. We realize that we are Muslims and we have to be loyal to the sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this Western way in its totality must come out of us. A hatred must come. Khaliful Yahud wa Nasara. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go opposite their ways. Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum. Whoever imitates a nation, he is part of that nation. And how much we imitate them. And see the spirit. Once we are eating supper with Haji Ahmed Nakhuda Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali in Lens, and in a normal vegetable salad, where tomatoes, onions, olives, etc. put, they usually put a fork with. When Haji Sahib saw the fork, he said, Mujhe itna ghussa aata hai. I get so angry on this fork. It's Nasara cheese. I feel like I must take it and break it into pieces. That why must we use their things? One great sheikh of Azhar in Egypt, the famous university, was visiting India. He visited Deoband also, and he had meals with Hazrat Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri, rahmatullah alayh. And considering them, they put the meals and they put the Arabs normally eat with the spoon and fork, knife. They don't eat with their hands. So he was eating with his fork. So he told Manana Anwar Shah Kashmiri, rahmatullah alayh, you also eat with a fork. So Hazrat immediately put out his four fingers like this and he said, I am eating with a fork. This year, the fork, a fork has got four thongs. So this is my fork. And he said, my fork is better than your fork in four ways. That with my fork, when I want to catch the food, I just take it. My fingers are so Allah made them. You just take it with the roti or rice, just like that, whatever. And it comes in your hand. But I see you, with the knife and the fork, you are chasing that piece of meat. It's going around the plate. And then you catch it, and then you cut it, and with difficulty you bring it. So my fork is better than yours. Your fork, by mistake, if you hit your teeth with your fork, it's pain, it can cause damage, blood can flow. If by mistake I hit with my fork on my teeth, nothing, no harm. My fork, after eating, it gives off such a fluid, a liquid. I lick it, which is sunnah to lick the fingers after eating. And that digests the food. With your fork, you can't do that. In my fork, my hands, I wash them before eating, which is sunnah to do. That a person washes his hands before eating, and that is sunnah. Your fork, you don't know who washed it, whether it was washed or not. Or just with some chemicals, they made it clean and shine, but whether it is clean or not. And to crown it all, the greatest thing, my fork is the sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and your fork is the tariqah of the Nasara and the dushman and enemies of Islam. So we should have our way. So anyway, our subject is going in a different direction. Our namaz, we must work on our namaz and make our namaz correct. So for that, inshallah, when the practical namaz will be done, it will be explained. So the first thing in our namaz is our standing position. And for that, Allah has given us our two feet on which we stand. And few requirements which are very important, but unfortunately because we don't work on our namaz, we have become very negligent. First is the two feet must be in a straight line, every individual. You'll see common, so unfortunate that vast majority of imams also, the two feet are not in a straight line. The one foot is a little front, one is little back. Sometimes up to 1-2 centimeters. If it's a millimeter or so, it's understood, you can't be so perfect. But up to 1-2 centimeters. So we haven't got our standing position right. Then the second is the two feet must face Qibla direction. And generally across the board, whoever it can be, good, pious people, people who are namazis for years and years, the one face is, one foot is facing, yeah, from South Africa, the directions we follow, one foot is facing Bollywood, and the other one is facing Hollywood. Now, where will the barakat of Kaaba come into your life? One is facing east, one is facing west, and both must be facing Kaaba, straight. Qibla must be right, and our feet must be facing the Qibla, but we are not facing. And there's again a whole big discussion, and Allah give Maulana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmatullah Ali Jazar Khair, Maulana Idris Kandelvi, he has condensed and made easy the subject of Maulana Nanotvi about Qibla, the great barakat of Qibla. Very briefly, that the Kaaba Sharif, which Allah has made, and the barakat of Kaaba Sharif alone are so enormous and so great. Directly above Kaaba Sharif is Baitul Ma'mur, which is the Kaaba of the Malaika. They make tawab there. Directly above that is the Arsh of Allah Ta'ala. So whatever comes down in this world comes from the Arsh to Baitul Ma'mur, and there it gets more intensified. It gets more solidified, and then it comes on the Kaaba. And then it spreads in the world to all the masajid of the world. And from the masajid then, especially those who go to the masajid, they take all that rahmat and barakat and they go back with it home. They go back with it to their businesses. So all this comes in. So if we face the Kaaba, we get all that. The Kaaba Sharif is a little rectangular. It's not a square, little rectangular. But the stuffs that are made are not made in a rectangular or square way. They are all round. All of the stuffs. Right from the first stuff till all the stuffs. And then right throughout the world, the stuffs are like that. We only see it in the Kaaba. Or we see an aerial picture of the Kaaba, all the people making namaz. We see the stuffs. And if you see out of the haram also, when the crowds are so big, all the stuffs are in a round form. And in that, all the Anbiya made namaz at the Kaaba Sharif. There are Anbiya who are buried at the Kaaba. And then all great pious people who made tawaf, who came, who made namaz at the Kaaba. So when we facing, when you go there even more, when we face the Kaaba, all that barakat of all those Anbiya, all those pious people, we will get it. But if we are facing the Qibla, we are not facing the Qibla. Our legs are facing east and west. So that is very, very important. So, and then when we are, and four fingers apart for the Hanafis, for the Shafis, one shibar. It should be apart. Our legs are normally much more apart. We just stand. We just come, we don't think how I must stand. All these are definite, specific, and they are not minor things. تَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنَا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. We might regard it as small things. Mustahabbat, we will say. Sunan, we will say. But by Allah, they are very great. And with regard to the outward postures of namaz, Shaykh Ahmad Sarhandi Rahmatullah Ali has referred to a few, and he says, still this is not right, then namaz can never be correct. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali commenting on that, he says, these few things which Hazrat Shaykh Sarhandi has referred to are the what we will call minor things, mustahabbat in namaz. He says, when that is so important, then the actual sunnah in namaz, the wajibat in namaz, how important are they? But we don't pay no attention. In fact, who of us can stand up and say how many sunnahs in namaz? Perhaps the faraz we can say, but how many sunnahs are there in namaz? How many mustahabbat there are? Maulana Abrarul Aksab Rahmatullah Ali was very particular about this. He says, if we haven't got knowledge of the sunnahs of namaz, how are we going to fulfill the sunnah? When we don't know. We don't know the mustahabbat of namaz. So how are we going to, when we don't know them, how are we going to do them? And we're not interested also. We will be becoming big buzurgs, we're becoming shaykhul mashayikh, teaching big kitabs in the Darul Ulum, giving big bayans also. But our own condition is very poor. So these are things which have to come. And one individual comes right, and the world will come right. One Allah chose Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he put the world on course. We don't have to worry for majority and multitudes. By Allah, He looks at the quality, and one person on his own, each one of us sitting here, young children, old people, ulama, not or non-ulama, anyone who will do it, Allah's rahmat will come down accordingly. And according to namaz is the most important thing. So our standing, and then when we are making namaz in jamaat, the whole stuff, the stuff must be 100% straight. This is very, very important, in which also, which we are very, very neglectful. The stuffs are not straightened. No attention is paid. Only place I saw was in Raiwind, where in those days, that was in the 70s, when before namaz starts, then there was four people in every stuff. One at the end of the saf, one in the middle, for the right side. And for the left side, again one in the middle, one at the end. And both of them should walk and see that the people are standing in a straight saf. So in hardly a few seconds, they've covered it. And some people, and we know, like in the haram, announcement is made, safu sufu fakum. But people just don't pay attention. Or at the most, they just look down at their feet, and that now we have done our duty. But whether I have to move a little bit front, back, correct my feet, my own feet are not in a straight line. And this was so important. فَإِنَّ تَسْوِيَةَ الصُّفُوفِ مِنْ إِقَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ The perfection of the straight stuff is part of making your namaz perfectly. And we are required that we must make our namaz قُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ Qanitin with humility, with humbleness. And humility and humbleness is tahakkuk. It cannot take place until it is not done according to sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is very, very important, in which we are very, very negligent. And it needs one person, like at the moment, everyone is coughing. One person coughs, another person coughs also. So if one person will correct his namaz, it will lead to another person. One person is negligent of his namaz, others become negligent also. We see that, oh, so big Maulana and how he makes his namaz. So that must be the way, that's the acceptable way. So we also just carry on like that. If we start correcting, every individual worries about himself. It's not that so-and-so must come right, I must come right. Then inshallah our namaz is. So that standing position is very, very important. So the straightening of, and Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, it comes in the hadith, should straighten the self, like when you take a target, when you want to shoot your arrow, in our times, when you want to pull your trigger, and you want to hit bull's eye, how you make your target perfect, like that you should make the straight so perfect. So there must be importance to that, which today, in the masajid of the world, it is neglected. No attention is paid. And the imam is the important person. It's his duty. Like when you are the driver of the car, it's your duty to see every car's door is closed. And in fact, if you go for advanced driving lessons, you are required before you drive that on your tires, the tubes, that little cap that comes, every wheel must have that cap also on it. For advanced driving, like if you do public driving for buses, taxis, and you go for advanced driving courses, which entail quite a bit of things. So the imam is responsible for all this. But the imam's namaz himself is still very wanting and very negligent. So how can the rest of the people's namazes be correct? So that is one thing, the standing position. The second is the lifting of the hands. To lift the hands up. And one very important thing, which almost all of us are also guilty of, we all know the masala somewhere, to some degree, that amal-e kathir breaks namaz. That if you do a lot of amal, things in namaz which are not part of namaz. So we must avoid totally any amal which is not part of namaz. Even if it is not kathir. Like for example, lifting of the hand. Now some of us lift it this way, and then we bring it here. Some of us, there are many different ways. Just straightforward, lift your hands to your ears. Don't any other extra, mustn't be any, there mustn't be any extra. Nothing less in namaz, nothing extra. Try and make our namaz perfectly. And Allah gave us tawfiq, yeah, we have practical namaz. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam declared, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Make your namaz as you saw me making my namaz. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is not with us. We can't see. So see those who learned from their ustads, who learned from their ustads. And write this silsila, learn namaz from somebody who learned it from our elders. Learn namaz practically, not only in the kitabs. What with the deen that we learn, you can read the whole of Hidayah, whole of Quduri, Kanz, Shari Wikaya. But deen comes in a person in practical life. Therefore, after reading all the kitabs, Bukhari and Muslim and Tirmizi, Abu Dawud, it's absolutely necessary to stay in the company of somebody who's got deen in his life. That what you read in theory, we know you go for your driver's license, is really the theory. And when you go for your driver's license, it's the practical. Your learner's license is the theory, whether you know the rules and all that you are tested. But that's not sufficient. Then you are tested whether practically you know. So our deen also. We have to know the theory also and the practical application. A doctor who graduates, and he could have graduated with distinction. But if he didn't do internship, housemanship, and he wants to operate, they will lock him up. He is not allowed to do it. One person went for operation, young man, 28, 30 years, doctor, he was very cabrified, very frightened. So doctor asked him, what's wrong? Why are you so excited? You so worried? He said, doctor, I'm a young man, 30, 28. I got my wife, young wife, 22, 23. Three, four small children I got. And you're going to put me under anesthetic. And if I don't wake up, if I die, what will happen to my wife, to me, my children? And this is the first operation of my life. That's why I'm worried. Doctor, to console him, said, my friend, don't worry. This is my first operation also. Now what will happen to the poor patient? And if the doctor is that doctor who didn't do housemanship, internship, he got distinctions in his theory in the exams. He got distinctions. But he didn't do practical. He didn't learn from other old doctors how to apply practically. Then what will happen to that patient? He'll die before he start the operation. So we also, and today, 99% of the ulama who graduate in the whole world, they don't do internship. They only for theory in the madrasa they studied. That is what they go by. They don't do, and this is the most important. And today, like with the new South Africa, in old South Africa, all the big companies, whether it was electric companies, plumbing, who was doing all the work? The workers, the black people. The boss was a white man, it was his company. But all the work that has been done, everything is done by the workers. And when now they wanted the blacks, the local people, to make jobs freely available to all the local people. Creation or some other word also. Empowerment. So they gave jobs to all this, and they didn't have to write exams also. They gave them the certificates that they are doing the work. Here in the madrasa, our kitchen, we got our cooks, Indian people, Muslim people, but who's doing all the work? Our Malawi workers, from starting to end, they run the whole show. So who is doing the work? It is they who are doing the work. So Allah Ta'ala, and what was it? Did I say that? So the ulama who are studying, but we don't do practical, we don't stay. And Hazrat Maulana Thanvi, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf, Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmir, rahmatullah, said, when you spend 6-7 years, and actually in India the alim course is 9 years. 9 years you spend to become an alim, at least 9 chillas, which is 1 year, spend it in the company of some buzur. Maulana Ashraf, Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri, rahmatullah Ali, who's known as an academic person in his field, but he also stressed to all students, you have completed Bukhari Sharif today, now go in the company of some Allah Wala, and go and learn deen practically from him. So this is necessary. Because of that, our standing in namaz is not still correct. Our raising of the hands is not correct. And when we raise our hands also, in the proper sunnat way, that the palms must be facing Qibla. And the action must be such that we have lifted the dunya and thrown it behind us. Now it's only akhirat in front of us. Now only Allah is in front of us. Akhirat. In that way we start our namaz. Anyone got that when we start our namaz? We are far, far from it. So it's only Allah Ta'ala. And this, by this way, I have surrendered to Allah. And when a person surrenders, then he has surrendered completely. Bi asriha, with the finest details, my thoughts also, my looks of my eyes also, everything of my body, I have surrendered to Allah. That is how we should be making our namaz. So we raise our hands, palms must be open, and the fingers can be in any condition. In 3 stages of the namaz, fingers, there are no regulations. They must be together, they must be open, just as it is. But they must be facing the Qibla. And then fasten our hands. And then this is the thing which almost 90% or 100%, everyone's hands is fastened in a different way. Whereas we are all taught, and by and large, we are all Hanafis. If there is a Shafi, Maliki, is different, no problem. They can fasten as they have been taught. But how we have been taught, and that is to put your hands, fasten them, and it must go below the navel. So, and our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says so beautifully that to put your hands below the navel in namaz, you don't have to feel where's your navel. If everyone, while in namaz, is looking for his navel, people would say, what's wrong with these people? What are they looking for in namaz? Looking for your navel. Just you drop your hands naturally down properly, it goes below. Allah made it in such a way. It goes below the navel. And then, our Shaykh used to explain that before this COVID time, in the aeroplanes on the screen, they should show where you must buckle up. And you see the seat belts coming through together and how they fit nicely, snugly, one into the other. He should, like that, Hazrat should say, your hands must come and they must fit one into the other. And neatly, the 3 fingers must be on top of the wrist here, together. With your thumb and your index finger, you must make a grip your hand, not just place it. We don't think about it, we just put our hands. And these fingers are normally open. They should be together and we should grip the wrist with it. And these fingers of the left hand must be behind this hand. Mostly they are at the bottom here. That shows a complete negligent namaz. A namaz of الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. In fact, one day, I was walking out here in the masjid, and one mufti of our madrasa was making namaz after sunnahs, nafals, whatever. And this left hand was so much at the bottom that my mind, without thinking, I had to look a second time. What's he holding? What's happening? Why is his hand so low? What is he controlling? What is he looking after? So when we are negligent to this extent, that happens to our hand. And namaz is the whole the namaz of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum should explain a beautiful namaz. That is a namaz which is of beauty, is without a single extra action, only the actions of namaz, where the muftis have classified amal kathir and they have allowed a lot of gunjaish. In fact, so much when it cleared my mind that the imams of the haram, we know, almost the whole namaz, they're playing with their jubba and with their scarf, they're putting it right. So I also thought that they are doing amal kathir until I met one alim who knows the Hanbali mazhab and said for them, if they're making namaz in a room, then they move anywhere around in the room, it's not amal kathir. So all this, what they're doing so much, today it all comes on TV their namaz, and you see them pulling the scarf right, pulling the jubba right, but for them and their mazhab, it's not amal kathir. But for the ahnaf, we're not allowed all so much of extra. So anyway, there must be no extra movement, and fasten our hands neatly under, just goes naturally under the navel. Until these things and the rest of namaz also, whether we discuss it here or not, inshallah, hopefully, the whole of namaz on Saturday will be done. Till we don't make our namazes properly, forget getting concentration. Without concentration, forget getting the fruits of namaz. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Otherwise, we'll be making namaz whole life, and we'll still be fantasizing of evil. Not only when we are going to sleep, but in faraz namaz. In sajda, we still evil thoughts will come to our mind. If we make our postures correct, then your mind will be there at Malay Ala, at Ala Illiyin, by Allah Ta'ala your mind will be. But if not, we will be in filth and dirt, asfalu safilin. We will be right down. And very sad, how many of our friends who are like close to us, who like on Saturday, there will be many ulama who will be telling people, but those ulama themselves, their namaz is not right. They are still making mistakes, and they are teaching other people. And we're just not correcting. After how many years of hearing, but like deaf, like speaking to the walls, we're just not improving. That the worry is just not coming. Allah Ta'ala make it. And like Hazrati Maulana Inamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah say, let us all get together and bring one pillar of Islam alive, namaz, in the true sense of it, and then see how the ummah will flourish. Namaz, ju'ilat qurratu ayni fi salah. Namaz is our great asset, our great sarmaya, our capital. Namaz is everything for us, but we are most indifferent to namaz. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah.